splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, all darkness has to hide, it trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. Age to age he stands, all time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how our God, and all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names, so worthy my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing that again.
Yeah.
He's the name above all names, no other name. So worthy, so worthy
of our praise.
My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
And
all see how great, how great is our God. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. It is good to be here.
Amen.
My goodness. I'm excited. Let's sing another song. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Amen. Might as well say something.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's cold outside, but you know, it's warm and it's beautiful. Flesh didn't want to come. But you know what? I've got something on the inside.
Thank God I got something on the inside
that'll override that.
Amen.
But what I really wanted to say was, I thank God that I see this.
Yes.
You know, I was reading, I'm going through the book right now. It's one of Brother Branham's, they were blind, but they knew him or something. But anyways, I was reading it, and it talked about the people that Jesus had gone around and interacted with, and The word was there. The word was going to promise that this Messiah would come.
Yeah.
But they missed it.
Amen.
You know? And then it talked a little bit more when after his resurrection, Jesus joined himself with a few of the believers that were sad because he was crucified, and they thought that was it.
Right.
And Jesus rebuked them and said, you fools, you know, I'm here. You know, basically, I'm here. I'm standing with you.
Right.
Yeah. How come you didn't recognize me? Why don't you recognize me?
Right.
And then Brother Branham went on to say, you know, the same thing today. You know, the word's back. The word, the Bible promised.
In flesh.
That God would do the same thing again today in our day.
Right.
But he said the organizations missed it.
Right.
And I started thinking about that. And I said, yeah, that's right. In Revelations, it talks about that the Laodicean church age would be blind, poor, wretched, miserable, and naked and not know it. So how are they going to see what we see? And then I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what, God? It's just your grace that I see what I see. And I just want to thank him for that because, you know, I could be just one of those guys, one of these people out here that is just as blind, but for whatever reason, God decided that there had to be one Brother Warren in here, and I'm going to claim it. I'm going to run with it as far as I can go. Yeah. Amen.
Praise him.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Brother Warren. Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick, because I already know how things work in here. February 11th, 6 o'clock, fellowship in the main house. And on February 24th at 4 o'clock p.m., there's a reptile show. Can't say what's going to be there, but please come. And then we've got Easter service in Kentucky, March 30th to the 31st. Sign-ups in the back. And I know there was something else, but...
Easter.
January 28th, Brother Moore will be at Little Bethlehem. That concludes our announcements. Oh, yes, God will be ministering here. So, you know, we have a baptismal this morning.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm just like I said last time, my last testimony. I'm really proud of the kids in here.
Amen.
You know, I look up to them actually. You know, because they're just examples. If you want to see any kind of growth, just look at the kids in here. You know, I you know, something was really funny because, you know, Sister Beth and I were talking about Dylan, you know, and I've watched this kid, you know, progress and grow since he's been here. And, you know, it went from, you know, 4 or 5 to 8, you know, bathroom breaks to now he's just sitting there. Now he's just sitting there and just listening and just receiving. And that's all you want to do when you come in here. You just get rid of the distractions,
that's
you know.
Right.
If you gotta go like this. Get rid of the distractions. Woo, drop everything that you got at the door. You got the brothers that'll pat you down, dust you off before you get in here, and just receive.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not only just receive, but be a part of it. Step out. You know, if you got something that you want to say, it'll bless the body. You just don't know what people have been through this week and what they've had to do and what they've had to overcome. And then your testimony, you come in here with your testimony, and it's like, oh my goodness. It just turns the body on. So, I'm just happy to be here. Let's, Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Creep up on me.
Oh. Yes, Brother Isaiah, thank you for giving me a little bit of time to release my soul, to release my praise. God is so good.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Wait a minute. What? What do you want? G? Try F.
No weapon formed against me will prosper. Formed against me.
by his word, he will come through. God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It just won't work. No weapon formed against me, amen, shall prosper. It won't work. God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word.
He will come through.
And
God will do what he said he would do.
He will
stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
No
weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. I know God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. I know God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. Formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. I know a bomb formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Think about it, saints. That is scripture.
Amen.
That is just not the words to a song.
Right.
That is the word of God.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me. I'm taking God at his word.
Amen.
If he said I'm healed, I'm
then
healed.
You are healed.
Wait a minute. I didn't get this far
right.
by myself.
Amen.
That's right.
There's a miracle looking at me.
Amen. Yeah.
He will fulfill his word.
Right.
Yes, he will. Die.
He will bring it to pass
always.
In my life.
Right.
Just always. Like he did oh, yeah. everything else.
Amen.
It's just another step.
That's right.
And then we're going on over.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not true, we might as well just give up and fold up right,
right.
now.
Right.
But it is true. His yeah. He will fulfill his word. My I will go to my seat
Amen.
Testifying yeah. that I am the word of God manifested for this day and this hour. I shall receive every blessing given to me. I declare it because if I don't say it.
Come on. Claim it.
Look, I want my mountain.
Amen.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, I'm gonna cheat right here. G, please. And I'm gonna sit down, I promise. I want my mountain.
I want my mountain.
Where the milk and honey flow. Where the grapes of Bethel grow. I want my mountain. Amen.
I want my mountain.
Oh,
the mountain that my Lord has given me.
I want my mountain.
I want my mountain. Where the milk and honey flow. Where the grapes of Bethel grow. I want my mountain. on my mountain. Oh, the mountain that the Lord has promised me.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to put this microphone Amen. Back. I'm just Amen. Glad to be here this morning. You know, it's a great opportunity to get here and praise God one more time.
Right.
You know, it's a Sunday morning that we get to praise God together.
Amen.
I don't have to praise God by myself. I get to praise God with the many member body. And I'm excited about that. There's not a lot of people that get to praise God together.
Amen.
You know, I know I'm part of a many member body that's across the United States, across the globe. But there's some people that got to praise God by themselves.
That's right.
There's some people that got to encourage themselves. But when I come here in the morning, I get encouraged by other people. Amen. God is saw fit to join me with a body of believers that can help me along the way. You know, it's helpful to even have somebody to help you.
Amen.
Right.
You know, that's why I even said even outside of salvation, getting a spouse is great because it can help you serve the Lord.
Absolutely.
It's great to have a helpmate. It's great to have somebody that can help. And none of us here are by ourselves. Whether you're married or single, you've got a helpmate to help you serve God. And I praise God for that. I don't want to take that for granted because, you know, it's almost like going to the gym. It's okay. If you're going by yourself, you're just the only one person that can hold you accountable.
Right.
You know, if you get up late, you just go, I don't want to go. I don't.
Right.
But if you got somebody to help you, you go, no, they're depending on me. They're waiting on me. They're looking forward to me. And I can do that. I can take that type all the way through.
Amen.
I got people that are depending on me to be here. I got people that are waiting on me to be here. But I got people that are waiting on me over there.
That's right.
That are depending on me to get this job done so we can get out of here.
That's
all I'm looking forward to. So I just praise God for that. I just was seeing here Sister Clary sing that song, and I was like, that's my song. And I thought, well, Brother Jay, you did say if somebody's singing your song, going up there and join them. I was like, well, I was kicking myself. I was like, well, you're kind of late and you're this and that. I'm just telling you what Satan was going in my head. And I was like, well, let her sing it. She sounds good. They got the right key. They're all right. And I was like, but that's still my song, though. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm living proof that you can give it your best shot, Satan.
That's right. Yeah.
We're all living proof that you can give it your best shot.
Amen.
And I'm still going to come back up standing. Oh, you know, because I'm kind of like that thing in the water that has air in it.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how hard you push me down, I got something on the inside of me. No matter how far you want to push me down, just
Amen.
Leave me alone for a second. I'm going to pop right back up.
Right back.
It's not even the outside of it that makes it do that.
Yes.
It's on what's on the inside of it.
Inside.
It's on the inside of the inside. So I praise God that I got something on me that gets me right back up no matter what I go through, no matter what.
No matter what.
And that's for all of us.
Yes.
You all had to make it back here Sunday morning.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to the baptismals with multiple.
Oh,
so I know it's a couple of them. So
yeah.
Praise God for Brother Jeremiah. He's going to be in that water. I tried to heat it up for him because he's my buddy, but what I had was some cheap tool and it didn't do it. It was only for a 5-gallon bucket. That ain't five gallons. It wore that thing out so quick. But anyway, I'm happy to be here. I look forward to what God's got to do. I'm just excited for the service. I mean, we come here expecting.
Amen.
And what do we come here expecting to hear? God.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to say it any other way. I come here expecting to hear from God. He said, where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst. See,
Amen.
I don't, you know, the church world will have a mist of God, like an idea of God, a spiritual being of God that he's up here in some cloud somewhere.
No.
He said, where there's two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst.
That's right.
He's here this morning, and we're ready to serve him. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm gracious. I know we got a line of people, and I'm looking forward to this thing, but I just praise God for one more service.
Amen.
To be able to come in here and praise him one more time because this is my life. This is all I have to live for. This is all I got. And I don't say that in a negative thing. It's like saying all you got in the bank is $1 million. That's all I got. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. This is all I got, but it takes care of everything I need.
Yes.
So I praise God for this place. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jay. Sister Bond.
God bless you.
I'm just grateful to be here in the house of the Lord with my family. We're all back.
Amen.
I'm grateful for an answered prayer. I pray all the time because they tell us that you have to not give excuses, and you have ask for things to be revealed. Because
Amen.
I can know what the scripture says, I can know what God says, I can know, but until I get that revelation. So one of the things I pray for is to open my eyes, Lord.
An understanding.
Let me see the dead. Let me see all these things you want me to see. And another thing that was said to me is you let the devil talk to you too much. So I said, okay, if I'm not seeing it, Lord, open my eyes so I can.
Yes.
And, you know, it's been said that we're supposed to be able to hear when God speaks to me.
That's right.
So I'm like, okay, God doesn't give excuses.
That's right.
God doesn't give reasons why you shouldn't or can't or don't. God's not a negative God. So now I've noticed, it has opened my eyes that, you know, all the things like the weather or how I'm feeling or all these different circumstances and excuses, I can throw them right on out.
Amen.
And it's like, you know, when all hell assails, and somebody's like, you know, somebody will be like, you know, it's almost Sunday. I'm like, I already knew. Yeah. That just, you know, they talk about don't stop at the sign of Fairborn, right? So every time something comes up and it looks like it's raining cats and dogs, I'm like, oh, I'm going the right way.
Yeah.
If I just keep going, all of these excuses and things are going to fall by the wayside.
Amen. Yes.
And before, where I would stop and analyze it and be like, how can I? No, God's already fixed it.
Yeah.
I just need to keep going.
Take your rest.
I'm just grateful to be here.
Amen.
I hate to butt in, but it's the only thing to do around here. You know, I feel rude as can be. So I'll just wait. Last time I waited, and I missed out. So sorry, forgive me. Ladies, forgive me especially. You know, it's good to dwell in eternity.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all I can see. I'm dwelling in eternity.
Yeah.
There's no Satan in eternity. I'm resting. I am sealed. I am complete. And I thank God for that. That means everything to me. That sets me free.
Yes,
that truly sets me free. You can sit there and say it and want it and desire it all you want. But when you see it, you're just free.
Free.
You know, I was reading Ecclesiastes. I read it last night again, the whole book. And, you know, it's just so beautiful because this is all about a balance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hate somebody says it's all God.
No.
I hate somebody says it's all you.
No.
But, you know, if you look all right,
it is.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Yeah.
But choose you this day whom you shall serve. You know, so I'm so thankful to know I'm just living.
Yeah.
I'm just taking day by day by day. I'm not sitting there saying, well, see what Satan's got. See what the Lord, I know what Satan's got.
Yeah.
I've seen him all, you know, it's kind of like this morning. I woke up, oh, it's what, 6 degrees or whatever, you know, 15, you know. I've been there, done that. We build houses and worse than that. All day long, you know. But, you know, so I've seen everything Satan's got to offer. I've seen it all. He's just got one song. And that's to get you away from the Word of God.
That's right.
Get you away from the Word of God for your day. Get you out of eternity.
Yeah.
You know, you can step out of eternity. You can yield your members to unrighteousness.
Yeah.
You can listen to his lies.
You sure can.
You have a choice.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Yeah.
I choose to serve God.
Amen.
This day, I choose to serve God.
Yes.
And I'll never back up.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Michelle.
I was waiting for my ticket to be pulled. But I'm here, and I just want to thank God today. I didn't really have a real big testimony. My testimony was, fill me up, Lord.
Yes.
Fill my cup up. Pour me out. If I have thinking, I'm just over it. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. Because that's all we have. This world has nothing to offer you. If you're looking to anything other than the joy of the Lord to give you joy, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm just here right now to say, Lord, just fill me up. I don't want to leave this place the same. All these songs that we sing, I'm like, Lord, I'm so over me. You know, when I'm so over me, he can have it. I have no fight. I have no struggle. All I'm doing is resting in his word. No matter what that looks like or what it brings, I don't care. Salvation is worth it all. Heaven is worth it all. Standing on my head the rest of the way with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. That's how I want to complete this journey. So I just want to say, God bless you, Bri. I'm glad to be a part of you guys. And yes, I do miss the kiddo, Sister Dawn. She told me, she said, every time they walk past, you're going to miss them because you're going to want to walk back there with them. But I'm good. I'm standing on solid ground.
Amen.
I'm looking at a host of angels. The Lord is lifted up. And I'm just so thankful. High and lifted up, brother. There you go. I'm just so thankful. If I can just say anything, is just fill me up, Lord. Just fill me up. Fill my cup.
Brother Bond? Oh, it's a Ted.
You're not going to deny me.
He'll do it.
I know. You got to watch it pretty close now. He just, oh, you can go. Oh, you can go. I'm sorry. Don, I would have done what you did, but I was just being too polite. Politeness has got to go here. Anyway, I just want to say one thing, and it really struck me more than anything. What you speak is important. It really is. Because, you know, this world here has to catch up for what you speak.
Amen.
Oh, my, yes.
Amen. There's a revelation, but I just got on that one really strong.
Right. Yeah.
This world out here has got to catch up to where we are.
Yeah.
It will do it.
Yeah.
Because when God speaks it, it takes a little time for where it to come to pass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look and say it's going to happen immediately, because it won't. Although it can, I'm not saying it just won't, but most of the time, it takes time for it to come to pass. So keep speaking it.
Keep saying it.
Keep saying it. Don't back off from the promise.
Amen.
Keep speaking it and keep speaking it and keep speaking it. God will bring it to pass.
Yes.
He will. Amen. But he's looking for a willing vessel.
Amen.
There's a real revelation behind that, because willing means to keep on. Right. Don't give up.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm here.
Yes.
It's a blessing to be here. And then I tell you, it is the strength. Your strength comes from here.
Amen.
It really does. Don't neglect coming here.
Right.
Don't neglect participating in here, because that is your strength.
Yes.
And I thank God for it. And
amen.
I appreciate being here.
Amen.
Appreciate the revelation.
Amen.
Most important thing there is.
God bless. Brother Bond?
I had an example this week to help me emphasize the importance of obedience.
Yes.
Back during COVID, Pastor told us to keep at least 2 weeks' supply of food available. We went overboard. We kept them off. And there was multiple people since that happened that we'd run in and they were low, this and that, and we'd stock them up and resupply. But this week, Sandra heard about someone who hadn't eaten in 2 days.
Wow.
And I was laid up sick. I didn't feel like moving at all. I get up for a couple hours and crash back down again. And she calls me. It's like, you have to be there, and you have to be there at 1. It's like, flesh didn't want to do it, but, you know,
right.
God told us to have this stuff on hand.
Amen.
For an emergency.
Right.
Somebody who hasn't eaten in 2 days, I never met him before, but that's an emergency.
Right.
So I loaded up the car and go, and wouldn't you know it, that sickness just kind of fell off, and I started praising God that the opportunity to be a blessing.
Wow.
It just, and I was laid up. But that's how God works.
Yeah.
We are the gift to the world. We are the blessing. I was not wanting to say this because, you know, it sounds like, oh, he's tooting his horn, he's doing this and that for people. No. God is doing that for people. If God hadn't told us to store up, you know, during COVID, which is just good advice to have 2 weeks' supply for any emergencies. You know, it's common sense. But because it came over the pulpit, we took it serious. And there's lots of times I don't take common sense serious, if you've met me. And I just wanted to say, you know, don't take lightly what comes across here.
Right.
You know, because you got to move yourself into position be a blessing to other people.
True.
You know, it's, you had a brother over here never studied. He couldn't teach back with our kids. And then we'd be having to answer all those questions with the kids, which we do anyways. Go ahead, sister. I want to ramble.
Sister Christy, and you'll be the last one.
I just want to say I thank God for who he is and for his faithfulness. I got to see a miracle over this weekend. My dad usually doesn't remember anything. I walked in the bedroom and asked him if he needed anything. He was up and alert. And he told me about a dream he had and recalled everything. It was just like seeing my dad again. So I just thank God for that moment I had, be it if it's just that moment or what. I thank God for it. And and I could beat myself up because I didn't play what I was supposed to play last week. And sure enough, Brother Dwayne and his family got up and sang. I surrender all, and I hit myself, and then Brother Jay got up and said, so I'm like, okay. So that was for them, but today he has me to put on my heart, great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you for the testimonies, and I just wanted to give a warm welcome to Dylan's grandparents, Don and Tammy, for coming this morning. It's so good to see you guys. Thank you for coming. And let's sing 224, It Is Well With My Soul, and then we'll get him up.
Amen.
And the only believer?
Yep.
Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole.
Watch now.
Is nailed to that cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
dwell. When your soul, oh yes, it is well, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, laying everything else aside, all of my wants, all of my desires, all of my ambitions, all of my problems. Lay it all aside, Lord, knowing that, Lord, you have made it well with us. Oh, what a privilege it is to be able to raise our hands to you this morning, to say it is well with my soul. Thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together in this house of worship with the believers that are praying alongside of me, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you are hearing our prayer. You always hear our prayer. And Lord, as we speak to you this morning, we want to just take a moment to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so patient. Thank you for being so loving. Thank you for being so kind. Thank you for providing all our needs and, Lord, making a way when it seems like we didn't know which way to go. Lord, you brought it to our path and laid it before us. You've always shown the light right before our first step and every step that we've taken, Lord. Ask you, Lord, to just move us aside this morning. Let your word come here and speak, Lord, through our lips, and let it, Lord, resonate down to our hearts and our souls, that, Lord, we can walk away from here a better person this morning. We can walk away from here more determined to serve you than we've ever done in our lives, Lord. Thank you for those that are here, that those that may be sick in body that are even in the house this morning. Ask you to move and touch their bodies. As Brother James said, as he got up out of his sick bed to go help someone else, Lord, you met him on the way. Yes. I pray, God, that you meet us on the way this morning. That you come by here in such a way that, Lord, if we're sick, we'll be well. If we're sad, we'll be lifted up. If we have questions, we'll have answers. If we're, Lord, looking for you, we'll find you. Oh, ask you to just touch those that are tuning in that may not be physically able to make it to the house today, but their heart's desire is to be in this place. Lord, bless them as you bless us. Lord, just move over the words that are laid before the people this morning. You know our hearts. You know our needs. You know what we desire. Have your way today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It may be cold outside, but it's warm in here. Amen. It's good to see you all out and good to have you be a part of the body, a part of the message, part of the service, you know, because this service is your service. You're the one that make it. I appreciate the fact that you're getting involved and being a part of it and making our song leader work. I appreciate that. I've been wanting that for a long time. And now that I see that the body finally getting, saying, wait a minute, this is our service. Yeah. You know, I got to put something in it, and I appreciate that. And I don't feel bad if he has to cut you off, because, you know, I'll sit over that organ, and I'm like, I'll cut him off. Because I'll be ready to get up, and he's doing a good job. I appreciate Isaiah's efforts, you know. And he's one of our newest song leaders. He is the newest song leader, I guess. And he looked like he's got an old hat at it. And the thing is, a gift to make a way for itself. You don't have to force it. And if it edifies the body and it gets the job done, then that's a gift. And, you know, you might say, well, I know this about him. He ain't this and he ain't that. And you know what? You're right. But you know what? He loves God. Amen. And he's yielded himself to God, and God can use him. So, you know, that's all that's required. I'm, you know, if you're expecting that, only one that's going to get up is the one that's perfect, and we ain't going to have no service. If you say you're going to go to I'm looking for the perfect church, you'll never find it. And the old saying is, if you're looking for a perfect church, the moment you walk in the door is no longer perfect. So we're not looking for perfection in the house that way. We're looking for vessels that are willing to submit themselves and to give to God. And it's no room for jealousy, no room for backbiting, no room for argument, and it's no room for disagreements and nothing. We come here to serve God together. You know, it's like when you're singing together. You don't have to tell the person next to you, just don't sing. This is my song. No, just get in there and get with it. Give it the best you got. You may be flat, but that's okay. You're flat, but they're sharp, makes it right. So, you know, it's a body ministry, and we're doing this thing together. And I appreciate all the help and support. Now, Brother Allen from Little Bethlehem has invited me to come down, and we've decided on the 28th of January. I just told Praveen this morning, so I knew that Isaiah didn't have that information. But Jay's going to go with me, and Clarice, and I might grab another two or three to go down with me. You know, he doesn't have a lot of room. But I hear you coughing, Mel. Melanie's going with me. But he doesn't have a lot of room, so I tell him I'm not going to bring everybody down. We'll just bring some and just a taste of Fairborn Community Tabernacle. And Jeremiah will be here to minister to the rest of the body that's going to be remaining here. So keep those announcements in mind. We're just starting to book things up for 2024. And so I don't know what all God has in store this year. You know, I don't know which direction, whether we're going east or west, north or south, but God knows. And, you know, 2 years ago we had water coming in. Last year we had water going out. So this year water will be coming in and out. So we'll be hitting in multiple places at the same time, if that's what the Lord wants. But keep praying for the services this year, and keep praying for us that God will hold us together. You know, I feel like when I turned 63, my body fell apart. I feel like I'm falling apart at the seams. But you just pray for me, because I want to be healthy, strong, willing, and able to go. And I'll go as long as I can go. You know, I remember Brother Childers, he used to always say, I'll hop up on this platform as long as I can without taking the steps. And he did it, you know, and he stuck right in there. And so I want to preach and go and do as much as I can while I have the strength and time, because there will come a time, if the Lord tarries, that I won't be able to go like I go. And so I want to take advantage of it while I can. So you pray for us, keep supporting the body, keep supporting the church, and then we'll make sure it's funny. You know, I'm gonna tell a little story about myself, and I'm gonna get started, because we have four baptisms today, so I can't spend too much time up here, but it's an oxymoron, because I got a lot to say, but I want to tell this story because I'm going to tell how you can be not sensitive to God's leading. Now I'm telling Mel too. I got to drag her in. She didn't have no money last week for offering, so she borrowed 20 from me, and I gave it to her, and she gave it back, and I put it in my wallet. So I was. I drove by the bank today one time, and the boy said, get some money out. I said, oh, I got money. And I come back, get some money out. Oh, I got money. And I got money at home. I got my wallet. I had all these answers. And then I got home. Get some money out. And, oh, I got it. I got here this morning. I was looking for my money. Somewhere between then and now, I had used it. And I'm sitting there saying, where's my money? And I thought, see, not sensitive. It could be that simple, is not being sensitive to God's talk. He's talking, you know, like the man who was waiting for God to save him. Yeah. The flood was coming, and the man, God come in, he sent a car, he sent a boat, he sent a helicopter, and the man drowned. And then he went to heaven and said, God, why in the world did you let me drown? You promised me that you'd come. He said, I came three times.
I sent you a car, a boat, and a helicopter, and you turned all of them down. That was all me. So sometimes God can be whispering. See, he's that still, small voice. He's not that loud mouth thing that's in your head. That's that loud mouth thing is saying, gimme, 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 gimme. You know, he talks real loud, but God's that still, small voice that he'll whisper in such a way, he'll say, I want you to do this, or I want you to give this, or I want you, and we override that. We, and I say we all do. I give you that example just so you know that I'm not exempt either. You got to be sensitive to the leadership of God. I thought it was so fitting this morning that Jay got up and sang with Clarice, because I know what he said Wednesday night. I know what he said Wednesday night. If somebody's singing your song and you didn't get up and sing it, you get on up there. And it's only fitting that Jay would be the first one that has to do that. So that's good, Jay. You're living by example. You know, talk is cheap. You can talk about serving God. You can talk about all kind of stuff. But when it manifests itself, then you know it's real. When it manifests itself, then you know that God's in this thing. So I appreciated that, Brother Jay. I watch you all, and I watch your testimonies. Because when you testify, you know, you get anointed, you get in here, and you get into this atmosphere, and you'll say anything under the sun. It's like, hallelujah. You'll just talk real big. But then I won't say nothing. I'll just watch you, and I'll see if your life matches what you say. If your life doesn't match what you say, then you don't need to say it. He says, out of your notes, don't need to be. That should be something we should know, you know. This thing is real. It's a life of Christ in you, living out through you. If he's going to feed somebody that's hungry, he's going to get you out of your sick bed to do it. If he's going to help somebody, he's going to use you to do that. That's the way God works. That's just simply how he works. And he wants to do that because we belong to him. When you know it, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. It cost him everything to purchase you. You say, but we don't believe in slavery. It ain't slavery. It's a labor of love. God so loved the world that he gave. You should so love God that you give. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So if I see your old tightwad and never can give up anything, time, money, or anything else, then I don't have to worry about if you received anything. You know, have you ever received a gift and you should have had a gift for somebody and they give you a real nice gift and you're sitting there with nothing to give them back? You know how that feels? That feels awful, doesn't it? Well, that's the way it is with God. God so loved that he gave, and we're sitting here with nothing saying, my, this is the greatest gift there is, and I have nothing to bring. All he wants is you. That's all he wants. See, it's like kids and parents. Parents will buy your kid a $200 gift. And a kid of hand make something out of a little piece of paper and wrap it up. And you give them this $200 gift and they give you this little handmade thing. You know what? That parent is so proud to have that little wrapped up little nothing that kid gave him, whether it was cost him a dime or nothing. That's the way God's love for us is. He gave us so much and didn't want nothing in return. But all we can do is offer up our vessels. That's all we've got. This little raggedy piece of paper, this little nothing, I'll give it back to you. But you know that makes him so proud? Because you gave all that you had. That's all he wants. He wants you to give, even if it's not worth nothing. He loves it because it comes from your heart. That's all God asks for. That's all he wants from us. And so, well, don't hold on to nothing. Give it all back to him. Let him have your time. Let him have your money. Let him have your kids. Let him have your family. Let him have yourself. Just let him have it all. It may not be worth much to you, but it means everything to him. Oh, my. I got to get started. That's just the way God feels about it. If you want to know how that works, you say, how can I have filthy rags? And God will accept that. He says, it's because it's all you got. It's all you got. Oh, my. Okay. Let me get over here. Get started, because I gotta move. Turn me over to the book of Ruth. Ruth. But right behind Judges. For those, it's only four chapters, a short book. It's a really short book, so you can overlook it. And so go over there to the Judges and then flip a couple of pages over and you'll have Ruth. We're going to go over to Ruth chapter 4. And this is a well-known story. I want to start here. Because I thought of this Wednesday night when Brother Jay was preaching, I made a note. And that's the way I like it. You know, when you're sitting there and you're eating this fresh manna, God just whispers a little something in your ear and says, hey, this is your message. And so when you get here the next service, it's a fresh manna. I don't understand how people can write it on the bulletin billboard out front what they're going to preach on Sunday. Because I never know what I'm going to say until the service is over. I really don't. All that I've said up to this point was not in my notes. So, you know, it's whatever God wants, how God wants to move. So Ruth chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses here, 10 verses, just to get the story out so that we can see it. Now, Naomi and Ruth, they had married, just for a little background, they had married husbands, and Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law. And so when Naomi's husband died and Ruth's husband died, they were out of the land. They weren't at home with their Israel brothers and sisters. They were out in the land somewhere. And so when Naomi was out there, she had her sons, and her sons died, and Ruth, who was not a Jew, was married to Naomi's son. Well, I was thinking about that this morning. I thought, you know, when we, in the natural sense, have nothing that we can keep forever. Only thing we pass down is our name. I mean, that's really it. And I was thinking about that today. I said, now, that's the closest thing to eternity that we have. It really is. The closest thing, man. And that's why sons are so important in the Bible. Not that the ladies were any less important, but because of God's setting up of the marriage, whole marriage. See, marriage is a Christian act. It's a Christian act. And the way that God set it up is that the wife takes on the husband's name. He takes on her debt, her bills, her everything. He takes all that on, and she takes on his name. So the name is the only thing that we have as close to eternity as man can get. It carries on from generation to generation. But the key factor is it carries on through the son. That's an important point, because that's the only thing that we have that's close to eternity in mankind. I have the name of my father. My father has the name of his father. He had the name of his father, George Moore, and on and back we go. And so that's how we move the name down through time. And the name is the closest thing to eternity that we have. So we have to have a son to carry that name on. Because not counting and taking into consideration this generation, because everything in this generation is messed up. She refused to take his name anymore. Now they hyphenated. Or I was watching football here recently, and I think I asked Jay or somebody. I said, what is up with all of these long names? And it's like this one hyphen that, and this one hyphen that, and there's a bunch of them. And I'm thinking, what is up with this? Well, the thing is, now in this generation, ladies don't want to give up their name. So either they won't take their husband's name or they hyphenate it. That's okay. Like I said, marriage is a Christian act. That's the world doing the world thing. They can do whatever they want. They can change their name. They can hyphenate their name. They can refuse to take. They don't even have to marry. You say that came out of a preacher's mouth? That's the world. The world are not obligated to God's laws. It's not even for them. Somebody was saying that there was a man and a woman that didn't even believe in God. Was that you? Yeah, Jay said they had the man and woman, neither one of them believed in God. But when they had a kid, they wanted the kid dedicated. Yeah. It's like, you know, you believe in God or not. You don't believe in God, but you want to believe in God for your kid because you love your kid. But the world is confused. So they hyphenate their name. They won't take their husband's name. They on and on and on. But that's just generation. And they don't have to. And I don't hold it on them. I don't hold it. If they want to do it, do it. Go at it. You don't even want to get married. Go ahead and move in together. You're heathens. I mean, Gentiles. You got to remember, the Gentiles were the heathens. We just took ourselves women. We didn't marry. Y'all forget where we come from. Y'all like, we're all. No, we were heathens. Club on our back. We didn't know God. We had nothing to do with God at all. But Naomi was a widow, and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, was a widow, but they had no way to pass on their name. They had no way to be eternal, if you will, in that sense of the word. They had no way to keep it. And I was thinking about that. I just thought about that this morning. I thought that's the only way that they could be eternal was that they have seed to carry their name on. And so Naomi said, I'm going home. I don't need to be out here. So Ruth said, hey, you going? I'm going with you. And so when Naomi went back, she had a piece of land. And Naomi's property, you know, she had a piece of property, but she was not supposed to be running the business. She wasn't supposed to be the head of the house. She wasn't supposed to be taking care of business. Some man. And you say, that's male chauvinist. That's no, I'm telling you the way the Bible's set up, not the way the world's set up. The world's set up, man being a ruler and a boss and all that, you're right, it's wrong. I got you. Y'all thought I was going to say, it has to be this way. No, it doesn't. It's the world. But when you're trying to do it according to the word of God, everything has to be done by the word. If you are a Christian, you will get married. You don't need me to shack up. If that's still the term. I don't know. They change it so much. But if you want to do it right, and Naomi wanted to do it right. She knew that God's word said that a man had to be in charge of her property. So going home, Naomi said, I'm going home. I'm going to have to give this up. I'm going to have to do this and this and this. The way that it worked, according to the law, was that Naomi had to go back, and her closest kin was supposed to buy her inheritance. Because she needed somebody to take care of her. That's why in the New Testament, it tells us to take care of the widows. Because the Old Testament type, they took care of the widows. And in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they actually bought their property, land, and everything. They took it all. And then they kept them for the rest of their lives. Right. Took care of them, fed them. It was pretty good, actually, you know. God's thoughts were not all that off. So Naomi was going home to find her closest kin so that her closest kin could buy her property and she would be set for life. Well, Ruth is like, I'm a widow. Though I'm a Gentile, I was married to a Jew. I'm going. You're going home, I'm going home. Right. So Ruth went home with Naomi, and in their going home, anything that belonged to Naomi, once her closest kin bought it, bought everything. Right. Bought her land, anybody that, her servants, if she had any, any kin that was with her, under her, become theirs to be their servant or whatever they want because they bought them, you know. That's, you say, well, that's awful. No, that was called retirement. That's what they called retirement in those days. Because once Naomi did that, then she didn't have to worry about where the food's coming from. If he ate, we eat. So they come back, and this man called Boaz, he was a relative of theirs. And Boaz saw Ruth. He didn't see Naomi. He saw Ruth. And Ruth come walking by him, perfume, you know how. Looking good, smelling good. Said, who's she? I said, that's Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. She's a widow. And Naomi's a widow. And Boaz was like, whoa, wait a minute. Really? That's my relative. So Boaz knew the law. He knew that he could take care of Naomi, and if he took care of Naomi, everything that Naomi had became hers, his. And Ruth was a part of Naomi. So by default, it didn't even matter what the cost. Boaz was like, oh, where do I sign? And so Boaz realized that there was a kinsman that was closer to Naomi than he was. And so Boaz had a plan. He said, I know this man's broke. He can't take care of the family he's got, let alone add two more. So Boaz got this plan together, and he thought, if I could just buy out the property of Naomi, I automatically will get Ruth. But he had a problem. See, this is all the backstory to what we're getting ready to read. He had a problem. He did not have the right to just go and get Naomi and Ruth. There was something between them. Though he was kin, there was something between him and Naomi that was preventing him from just going and paying the price and getting her back. He said, hey, I can't just go get her. I got to pay a price for her. Amen. She needs redeeming. Oh, my. Now you're starting to, everybody, come on, y'all, I want to get up here and preach now. Come on. Naomi needed to be redeemed. Yeah. Ruth needed to be redeemed, but Ruth was going to get redemption because she belonged to Naomi, even though she was a Gentile.
Amen. Come on.
Now that gets us up to chapter 4. I just read you chapter 1 through 3. Chapter 4, verse 1, you should have it by now. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. See, he had a plan. He already had the money in his pocket. And said, sit down here, and he did. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which is our brother Imlek's. And I thought to advise thee. No, he didn't. See, you know, sometimes even believers have to be a little sneaky. Why is the serpent harvest done? Just like Jacob and Esau. Jacob, it didn't make him not a believer. It just made him a little bit, you know, a little shady. So here he is. He already had this plan, and he's acting like this is something new. And I thought to advise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. Come on. Quit messing around. You want it or not? You want the property or not? You want Naomi or not? He didn't even mention. No. Sometimes you can't tell everybody everything. If you're going to redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me. that I may know, for there is none other to redeem it besides thee. That was sort of true. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. That's the first thing. See, that's just like the devil. First thing the devil said, it belongs to me. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naaman? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Quit messing around. If you're going to do it, do it. What day? Thou must buy it also of Ruth. Oh, don't forget. You know, you get Naomi, that's going to cost you $1.99. And on top of that, you got another $1.99 for Ruth. See, what he's trying to do, he's drawing the picture. He didn't start out with the whole picture. He started trying to make it seem like Naomi was going to be a lot of money. But then after he saw the close kinsman was going to buy it, he said, uh-oh, let me add on that. Oh, by the way, you know Ruth comes with this bill. Thou must buy also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Oh, you're going to have to give Ruth eternal life. Yeah. Yeah. You realize this?
Yeah.
This ain't just buying a piece of land. You're buying a land. You're buying Naomi. You got to take care of her for the rest of her life because she's a widow. And also you got to take care of Ruth. And you got to give seed to Ruth because she needs an inheritance. She needs eternal life.
That's right.
She needs a namesake, somebody that she can give her name to. Oh, it's starting to cost. See, after a while, this gets to a place that just anybody can't do it. Just anybody can't. You know, I see a lot of cars that I'd like to have. But just look a little closer. When you look at that price tag, I didn't change my mind. They changed my mind. That's like, oh my goodness, I can't buy that.
Amen.
That's the way her close kin thought. He thought, oh, I gotta buy all this. I can't do all of this. And then Boaz was putting the pressure on. He's like, come on, tell us. What day are you going to do it?
Yeah.
You know you got to buy this. You know you got to buy that. This all comes with it. You got to do that. And you got to give seed to Ruth because that is your inheritance. You must, by the law, bring forth a son to pass her name on. He's like, man, what's the missus going to say? What's the wife going to say? What's the family? See, it got so much. It got to be such a pricey purchase. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. I'll mess my own. Everything I get is going to get split. Now it's got to be not just my kids here, but Ruth's going to have kids. So they get half of my inheritance. Oh, no. No, no, no. It ain't worth that. No, it's not worth it. He said, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. I can't do it. I can't pay the price. I can't pay the price. Now, this was a manner in the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. See, Boaz already had, look at it. He already had the elder sitting there. He didn't have to go get nothing. He already had the money in his pocket. Had on good, his best shoes. And he had everything that he needed. He was dressed up, ready to roll. Just needed to make it look bad. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thyself. Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day. See, he didn't have to go to get it. He was performing a marriage right there. We are gathered together today. Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amalek's and all that was Chaldean's and all and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. See that? He had to buy all of that. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabite. Oh, by the way. Just in passing, he probably had that. You know, that small print. He probably didn't say this very loud. It said, Mova Ruth, the Moabite. The wife of Molin have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up a name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from amongst his brethren, and from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. That's a lot to read to get to that reading. But I want to title the message this morning, God's Family. Amen. God's Family. And I want to start here with Boaz, because Boaz was a kinsman. You had to be kin. Amen. To redeem. You couldn't just come up and buy. It's not like Don's going to come to my house, just buy my house. No. My inheritance go to my kin. And you had to be a kinsman to receive this inheritance. And I know I'm going to have to shoot through this because I ain't going nowhere fast. Now, I looked the word up, kinsman. Now, let me read what Brother Branham said. The book of Ruth gives a beautiful picture here now, how Boaz and Naomi had lost the estate. You heard me preach on that, haven't you? Raise your hands. He said, Boaz had to become a redeemer. And he was the only one that could. He had to be a kinsman, a near kinsman. And in redeeming Naomi, he got Ruth. That's what Jesus, Boaz type in Christ. And when he redeemed Israel, he got a Gentile bride. Oh my. So then you see, so very beautiful, we have it. He said, now notice, he must be kinsman. So you see, an angel couldn't do it. A man couldn't do it. It must be a man, but he couldn't be born of a woman, a sex act. So the virgin birth, that's what the virgin birth is all about. See, people don't even know why Jesus came by a virgin. Jesus came by a virgin because every man that was born of a woman is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come here speaking lies. You don't have to be taught to be a sinner. You come here a sinner. You come here automatically. Nobody in this room got here the right way. Every last one of us needed redeemed. Every last one of us needed a kinsman. Every last one of us needed to be bought back with a price. None of us could get there on our own. That's why I'm saying we're only dealing with Christians, with people who come from Christ. God's family. That's all we're dealing with. We're not dealing with the rest of the world. The world can't buy what we got. The world can't get what we've got. The world can't be a part of who we are. That's why they don't love what we love. That's why they don't do like we do. They've got to be kinfolk in order for this to work for them. He must be a kinsman. Angel couldn't do it. Man can't do it. Must be a man. But he couldn't be born of a woman in sex acts. So a virgin, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. That is the reason for the virgin birth. You say, I never knew the answer to that question. I always wondered why it had to be a virgin. That's why. See, God had to come to earth. In flesh. Because had he not come in skin, he wouldn't have been a kinsman. But he couldn't come by sex. Because sex was the fall in the garden. That's where sin came into play. Do you have to teach your kid to be bad? No. You don't have to teach them to steal cookies. Now, when mommy's not home, I want you to sneak in the kitchen, open up that top, and pull that cookie out and eat it. Oh, he had that in his mind before you got there. When you got to the other room, he was already planning. And not only did he not have to be taught how to steal, he didn't even have to be taught how to lie. Right. Mommy come home. Right. Who ate my cookie? I don't know. That's not something you teach him. What we have to do, because of our wrong nature, we have to teach our bad kids how to be good. You don't have to teach a kid to be bad. You have to teach them how to be good. You don't have to teach people how to be bad? Do you know the laws that keep people good? You never thought that, did you? You're like, oh, wow, yeah. The law is in place to keep you good. All right. Therefore, Jesus was not Jew. Jesus was not a Gentile. Jesus was God. That exactly. His blood didn't come from any sex act. He was the holy created blood of God. And we're not saved by Jewish blood. Neither are we saved by Gentile blood. We're saved by the blood of God. That's according to the Bible. See, the thing is that we see the hopping head of Christ and we see Jesus of Nazareth, the movie, and we got this white man in a long robe. And then if you look at the blacks, they go to their house and they've got the black Jesus on the wall. And, you know, everybody's trying to claim him. He wasn't Jew nor Gentile. He wasn't black or white. His body had the look of the Israelis because that was the area that he was raised in. But he wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't a Jew. He was God Almighty in human skin. And what made him kinfolk wasn't because he come by sex, but because he was a man. It took a man to pay the price that was owed. Remember the Old Testament. They had bulls and goats, and they brought the sacrifice, and they did all those things. Bulls and goats couldn't do what this man did. Bulls and goats aren't our kinsmen. All they did was push your sins down. But when Jesus came, a kinsman, when our Boaz came, he was part of humanity. If he didn't eat, he got hungry. Once he preached all day, he got tired and had to sleep. See, remember, God don't sleep. God don't get hungry. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get angry. Jesus got so angry at the people in the temple, he took the whip and whipped them out. He got angry. He was a kinfolk. The only difference between him and us was that he didn't come by sex. We did. But he ate. He slept. He got tired. He got angry. He did everything that we did because he was our kin. He did what God couldn't do. God couldn't die. But he did in Jesus. Jesus had to sit back and God actually had to pull back from him and let that kinfolk die. He couldn't do that as an animal. He couldn't do that as the stars. He couldn't do that as the sun. It had to be a man, a kinsman. Kinsman. I looked it up. Let me tell you what kinsman is. Kinsman, definition, Dexter, Webster. That's the guy. A man who is one of a person's blood relations. There you go. And I thought, why do you say man? Because a kinsman. There's a kinswoman. I looked it up there in there. But that's why I said, why did it say man? Because that's what made me think about it. Why say man? Because it's talking about only a man. A kinsman is only a man. Can only be a man. That's by definition. Not by my thinking. And you say, well, you're just a... No, that's the definition of the word. So, God required a kinsman redeemer. And it must be a human. Had to be. Oh my. What are you going to do now? Law required a kinsman redeemer. Now, they couldn't take an angel. He had to be a man because we're not kin to an angel. We're kin to one another. The angel never fail. He's different kind of being. Got a different body. He never sinned or nothing. He's different. But the law required a kinsman redeemer. And every man on earth was born of sex. Now, don't you see? There's where it comes from. There's where sin started. So you see where we're at now? There he comes. Your seed of the serpent. There's where that seed of the serpent comes from. All the way back in the garden. The fall in the garden was by sex. Man started having babies, and every one of them was already born in sin. Now notice, required a kinsman redeemer, and the redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, must be born of the human race. Here to leave us, here leaves us on a limb. It leaves us out on a limb, Brother Branham's saying. He said, it leaves on a limb. But let me sound the trumpet to you. The virgin birth produced the product. The virgin birth produced our kinsman redeemer. None other but Almighty God became Emmanuel, one of us. Remember, Emmanuel's God with us. That's what he was. He was God with us in the form of a kinsman, of a human, of a man. God doesn't bleed. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't die. But a man, a kinsman, redeemer can do all of those things. Yet without sin. Kinsman redeemer was met. You see how God makes a requirement and there is nothing we can do. But then grace steps in and overshadows the law and produces the product. Amen. Here we were in a predicament worse than Naomi. Naomi in type was a Jewish representative there. Ruth in type was the Gentile. Had it not been for God coming to the Jews, we'd have never got in. The Gentiles weren't the one he came to. He said, I came to my own.
Amen.
And my own received me not.
Amen.
What own? Abraham's natural seed.
Right.
He went to the Israelites first. And he tried to give the Israelites what we got today.
Amen.
But they wouldn't receive him.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they couldn't receive him.
Right.
It would have broke the type.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
See, that's why God don't hold it against Israel. Israel's just a type and a shadow of what God was going to do. It was God who blinded Israel. It was God who took Naomi's husband. It was God who took Ruth's husband. Because he was setting up the type of you and I. That God would come to Israel and Israel would turn him down. And God would turn to the Gentiles and produce a bride, a Gentile wife.
Amen.
Naomi, she was never going to be Boaz's wife. He didn't even want her as a wife. Oh, my. I don't have enough time. I'll tell y'all a little secret. I knew I'm going to get done today because I got 19 pages here, four baptisms. So I knew this was going to happen. I'm just introducing y'all to this subject. So you can start looking at it and realize that God never wanted Naomi. He was just trying to get to Ruth. He didn't love Naomi. He wasn't worried about Naomi. He didn't want Naomi as a wife. He didn't want her as a bride, but he wanted Ruth. He wanted to give Ruth eternal life. He wanted to give Ruth a name. He wanted to give her seed that it would live on throughout eternity. That was God's plan. And God used Naomi to get to Ruth, just like God used the Jews to get to the Gentiles. He never wanted a Jewish bride. He never was worried about the Jewish. He was only giving them 7 days. He gave them 3 when Jesus was here, 3.5. And he's got 3.5 more years that he's obligated to deal with them. But even when he deals with them in this other 3.5, they are not going to be his wife. Oh, my.
Amen.
God's family.
Amen.
And I was thinking about this. So I have a lot of thoughts. Every part of God's family has eternal life.
Amen.
Every part of God's family has eternal life. Because eternity means having no beginning and no end. And if you're going to have eternal life, that means you had to be in the family of God from the beginning.
Amen.
I didn't just come here. I came from my father, who came from his 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 father. That's our expression of eternity. Our short little span of time that we call Earth's time. But God had his family in his mind all along. That's why it doesn't matter whether you're bride, foolish virgin, children, 144,000, Old Testament saints. It doesn't matter. You're all part of the family.
Right.
All have eternal life. Because
right.
There's only one form of eternal life. That's God's own life.
Amen.
If you don't have the life of God in you, then you cannot get the life of God in you.
That's right.
I'm not going to open up the doors of the church at the end of service and try to get you saved. Because I'm talking about the family of God.
Right.
The family of God was always a part of God.
Right.
My kid David over there was a part of me before he even came into the world.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
But he's manifesting today.
Right. Amen.
But he's always was.
Amen.
I always was. That's why Jesus, when they're talking about Abraham, Jesus said, before Abraham, I was. In other words, I've been here all the time.
Right.
I've been the very plan of God. I've been a part of God. I'm part of the family of God.
Right.
And the family of God are the only ones who have eternal life.
Amen.
And if you have eternal life today, it already dwells in you because you come from God. That's what predestination is all about. I don't have time.
Wow.
That's what predestination is all about.
Amen.
Predestination is God coming after his family.
Amen.
Predestination is God giving you his name and that name giving you life, and that comes from God and God alone. And if you didn't come from God, you can't get back to God. No man can come to the Father but by me. Only way in is by the family name. Naomi, representing the Orthodox Church, went away on account of the famine and went over in the land of Moab, like the scattering of Israel, all amongst the nations. And then she come back and she brought Ruth the Moabite, and she returned just at the barley season. Barley season is harvest time. Just the gathering of the first barley. That is the Gentile church coming to God just at barley season again.
Yes.
What a beautiful picture there. And then she and Boaz being married, and the famous son, Obed, was begotten there and was also born. If you read on down, you'll see it. And then his son, great son, Jesse, came from Obed. Talking about the family line.
Amen.
There also, he begot David, his son, the King David come out. And remember, our Boaz is the son of David. It's all in the family. God's family. And these Old Testament types and shadows and all the things, we read the Old Testament, don't even realize what we're reading. It's just examples of what God was giving us. He's giving us flashes and little snapshots of what he was going to do in the natural. He was going to do in the natural what he was doing in the spiritual there. Well, he was doing in the spiritual what he did in the natural in the Old Testament.
Right. Right.
Oh, he took the natural lineage. And see, that's where people got stuck. They got stuck in the natural lineage of Abraham. And they thought because they were born of Abraham that they were okay. They thought Abraham was the answer to all their problems. Abraham wasn't the answer. Abraham was a sinner just like the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
Remember, he was born. Remember, he was born in sin and shaped in iniquity just like the rest of us. So don't be so proud of Abraham. You better get on the lineage of the son of David. You better get on the lineage of the man who could actually pay the price for the sin that we had. There was only one that could redeem us. Our Boaz was the Lord Jesus himself.
Amen.
The only one that could save you. Say, I've never heard this before in my life. You've never heard this before because it's a family secret.
That's right.
Amen.
You're talking with family now. And we can go back in our lineage. And we go back, we go back, we go back. When we go back so far, we go right back to God. The only eternal one there is. So if you got eternal life today, you already had it. You just have to be waking up to the fact of who you are. My kid David didn't know his David. He didn't know his name when he first was born. I had to tell him who he was. Well, I have to tell him now. He knows who he is now. He's a manifested son now. Oh, I don't have to tell you, I'm going to be a father. The very manifestation is right before your eyes. All right, I'm getting ready to say this, Micah. Micah! Last time I said that, it scared him. He said, I was sitting there and you said, Micah, and it scared him. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, who's going forth has been from old, from everlasting. It's always been the plan. Bethlehem was always the plan. And that was Old Testament, and that was spoken, and the church world couldn't even understand it. They were looking for this big Messiah to come with an army and going to do all this damage and get rid of Pharaoh and all these things. And he came in a little lowly Bethlehem. He came in the back. It didn't even come in a hotel. It was just a little bitty baby born in a back barn. A place that you wouldn't even stay. So humble. Now, just as Isaac was in the line seat and otherwise. Now, notice, we find out there that David had the promise of a son. Now, we notice how that parallels again with Israel. When Israel, or Abraham, was promised his seed, what it would be, out of the seed would come a great Savior, and he would be father of the nation. His natural seed, of course, was Isaac, and it failed. But his spiritual seed, by faith that he had come, Christ, which brought in all of the nations. Well, now, the same thing is paralleled here again. David's natural seed was Solomon, and it backslid, just like the other seed of Abraham did. It backslid. So did Solomon backslide, and he got too many women. And the first thing you know, they led his heart away from God. And the way that he went and backslid, died that way, backslid. Israel died the same way, backslid. But we find out that the spiritual seed, which was promised by the natural seed as the lineage of the people coming through Abraham, but as it were, as the kinship came through the spiritual promise of David. And David was born in Bethlehem, and he was anointed in Bethlehem. And we find out then that when his real royal seed, heir to the throne, was born in that same city in little Bethlehem, thou art least amongst the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall raise a governor. He was saying that we actually looked at the natural seed, but the spiritual seed came through Bethlehem. They were looking at the throne and the kingdom and all this stuff and Solomon's line and David's natural line. But David's natural line couldn't do what David's spiritual son did. So God's family was moving all the way through. And the whole time God was doing this, he was moving his family line and every one of his family seat. Now, everybody's not bride. Even in his family, everybody's not bride. Everybody in my family's not bride. Right. Clarice is my bride. Right. David's not my bride. Andrew's not my bride. Michael's not my bride. They have other attributes that they represent in the family. But it doesn't take away from them being in the family. And just like us, we look at the bride and we say, well, we're the bride. The 144,000, boo. No, boo. 144,000 are just as eternal as you are. Right. Eternal is eternal. Right. Foolish virgin are just as eternal as you are. Right. The children of God are eternal. All of them. Amen. The family of God, everybody in the family of God is eternal. Amen. know whether they're bride, children, innocents, 144,000 Old Testament saints, they're all part of the family of God. But the whole family needed Jesus Christ because we all came the wrong way. We were all born in sin, shaped in iniquities. And we as the Gentiles learned to trust in God. According to Matthew chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, won't read it. And as it just, verse 21 says, in his name the Gentiles trust. We trust in his name. But it was because of Naomi. Had it not been for Naomi, Ruth would have never got that inheritance. Had it not been for the Jews, the Gentiles would have never received our inheritance. Oh, they're mad at the Jews, and they think they're still mad to this day that the Jews killed Jesus. They're still mad about that. But what they don't understand is it took that death because he was a kinsman, and that kinsman had to pay the price. He was our lamb. In the Old Testament, you take a lamb to the temple. Yeah. Set it up for 14 days, 7 in the old, 7 in the new. Put it up for 14 days. Put that lamb up without spot, without blemish. Couldn't touch it. Couldn't put a finger on him. It was perfect. Our lamb was perfect. Amen. That lamb, Jesus Christ, was perfect. And it had to be killed. It had to be slaughtered. It had to be. And thank God the Jews did it.
Right.
Their way back was the same as ours. The same Jesus that was preached to the Gentiles is the same Jesus that's getting preached to the Jews. Amen. The Old Testament, the saints know who he is. Yeah. Remember, the Old Testament saints, they die. They live for God and die and went to hell. Right. Live for God and die and go to hell.
Right.
David, Isaiah, Adam, name it. Every one of them, they lived for God and went to hell.
Right.
They couldn't go anywhere else.
Right.
Then Jesus came. Because of the Jews, Jesus went to hell. Oh. So Jesus stepped through the hell's gates and said, hey, in here. Adam's like, whoa, that's that voice I heard in talking in the cool of the day. As they say, whoa, I recognize that voice. All the Old Testament family, they knew who he was. Oh, you don't think my sheep hear my voice. They know me. The family knows him. See, what proves it's your family is that when you hear his voice, you come to him. That's why you don't have to make people come to church. That's why you don't have to try to save everybody. You don't try to save the world. You just let the voice of God talk in there. So the seed that's inside of you will start turning. Even before your new birth, that seed starts turning. Oh, I'm uncomfortable. I've never felt like this. This is different. This is different than anything I've ever heard. And then you say, you know what? But he is telling the truth. What happened to me? You were born again. That's how easy it is. When the word of God comes forth, the family of God hears the word of God and turns quickly to it. That's how that is. No, I never heard nothing. When I heard this for the first time, I thought, I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. But it's the truth. He's telling the truth. It was hard, Brother Childers, was hard on me. But every time he'd open his mouth, I was like, man, he's hard, but he's telling me the truth. I hate that guy. And I'd come back and he'd preach some more. And you're right. And he'd preach some more. Yeah, you're still right. But what was happening is I was recognizing the voice of God. I was part of the family of God. I was in the house of God. I was hearing from God. And when you hear from God, a seed of God, somebody's part of the family, they'll recognize that. They'll say, oh my goodness, I know that voice. I've heard that before. I recognize him. That's what the Old Testament said. They said, oh, I hear him. Dude, they said, did you hear that? That's that same voice. They didn't know who to call him. They didn't know who he was. They just recognized the voice.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm holding in my hand the keys of death and hell.
Amen.
Y'all won't come with me? I'm getting ready to separate hell. Not one more of my kinfolk are going to come here.
Amen.
Now that I have paid the price,
Amen.
None of my seed will ever go to hell again.
Amen.
And when he got up, they come up with him. And then when everybody died in the New Testament, when our family died in the New Testament, they didn't go to have to sit in hell.
No.
They went to paradise.
Right.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and where I'm going to prepare, all of my folk are going to be there.
Amen.
All of my kinfolk are going to be there. All of my family's going to be there.
Yeah.
Nobody who has eternal life will ever go to hell again.
Right.
He was dealing with Nicodemus.
Amen.
And he was dealing with a rich young ruler and dealing with all these smart, educated people. And he got to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a scholar. He was a teacher. He was a churchgoer. He was people. He believed in God.
Amen.
But he wasn't family. And when God started talking, he couldn't understand it. And Nicodemus looked at Jesus. Jesus said, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus went through all his education. He'd been through biology. He'd been through science. He knew what born means. He knew what the birth consisted of. He was a smart man. He was too smart. He was so smart, he tried to use his education to understand Jesus. And Jesus said, you must be born again. The first thing he did is went to his dictionary. Birth. A child coming from a woman's womb. And he looked at Jesus with his education self and said, am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb again? And Jesus looked at him and said, you stupid man. You're a leader of the church. A leader, not just some little lowly lady. You're a leader and don't understand what I'm saying. See, without God being able to reveal it to you, you'll never pick this up. It won't be by your education. It won't be by your smartness. You got to be a part of the family.
Amen.
And the family can't help but, see, when my kids can't help but to have my blood in them. I have to put it in them. It come with the package. You can't help but to receive God's word if you're a seed of God. When you're a seed of God, God's word is going to speak to you, and you're going to say, oh, that's nothing but the truth. You might not like it. It might not feel good. You might not want it. Oh, no. You don't. I'm not saying you're going to love this. It costs you. It costs you your life.
Amen.
It costs you your family. It costs you your friends.
Right.
Nobody will understand you again. Only the family of God will understand you.
Amen.
Everybody else will say, you got to go back to your mother's womb again?
Right.
We're part of the family. And I'm going to skip all this about Nicodemus. We know him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named.
Amen.
Oh, I'd gladly take on his name.
Yes.
I'm not worried about hyphenating. I'm Nate Jesus Christ hyphen more. Forget about Nate. Forget about more. I'm Mrs. Jesus. I take his name on. I'm a part of him, and I've given everything up for him. The whole, all the family is named after him. And if you don't want to take on his name, then you can't be a part of him. That's what the baptism is about. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission, removal of your sins. Not just putting away, it's the removal of your sins. That means they're gone. That means there's no going back. That means you don't have to worry about paying for it some other day. If it's a loan, you got to pay it back. But if I pay the thing off, it's yours, free and clear. Like Jay said Wednesday, God doesn't, this is something where he's going to charge. There's no interest in this. No, you don't have to, there's nothing attached to it. It's all freed and paid for, clear, free and clear. So we take on his name by the water baptism. And that's just, and the water baptism does not save you. All the water baptism does is identify you with the body, saying, hey, there's something going on inside of me. I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. And I'm going down in his name. And I'm going to raise up a new creature. Not that the water takes away your sin. It doesn't. Repentance turns you around from your old ways. The water baptism is an outward appearance of an outward expression of an inward work. That's all this is going to happen this morning. We're going to just express outwardly what's going on the inside. I'm identifying with him. I'm taking the hyphen off and getting rid of my name, and I'm taking his name.
Yeah.
And then you shall
receive. Yes. Promise. It's a promise. Yes. If you do the two, he'll do the rest.
That's right.
If you repent and you get baptized, he said you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're taking on, all you're doing is taking on the family name. We're God's family. I'm getting very close because I know we got the baptism. We're taking on the family name. That's what we're doing here. We come from God, and we're going back to God. And in going back to God, we're taking on his name.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. He's our Boaz.
Amen.
We're his Ruth. He wanted to marry us. He didn't even want to marry the Jews.
Right.
He wanted a Gentile bride. Every part of this bride body has been Gentile. In every age, all the way through, it's always been Gentile. And this Gentile bride gladly takes his name. Ruth wanted his name so bad, she went and laid at his feet, said, let me just be covered by you. Just put your cover over me. Just let me rest here for a while. Lord, just cover us today. Just let us rest with you for a while. We've taken on your name. You paid the price. And you're going to take and marry and take us home and take care of us for the rest of eternity.
Amen.
God's family. Nowhere near getting started. But we're part of that family. The song says, I'm so glad I'm a part. Come on, musicians, of the family of God. Born of his spirit, washed by his blood. Joint heirs. Not heirs, joint heirs. That means, you know, what belongs to me belongs to him. What belongs to him belongs to me.
Amen.
As we travel this side, I'm so glad. Let's sing that. I'm a part of the family of God. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we're part of God's family. That, Lord, you've made a way for us. You paid the price. You covered us with your love, mercy, and grace. And brought us into a family that we shouldn't even be in. Oh, the Gentiles didn't deserve what we have. But, Lord, you gave it to us. You brought us into this circle. You brought us and loved us. And, Father, we want to just give it all to you. I don't need nothing. I don't need to keep nothing. Let us identify with you. Let us go down in your name. Rise in the newness of life. Knowing that, Lord, I'm a part of your family. And I didn't just become a part. I've always been a part. I'm just recognizing who I am. Thank you for these ones that are coming this morning to be baptized. I ask you to just let them take on your name. Let them walk away from here today stronger, more determined than ever before. Thank you for them putting that foot forward. Some are coming because they feel like they just need to just reset themselves. Lord, Micah mentioned that weeks ago. I just feel like I need a reset. Some are coming this morning, not because they're just starting out, but because they're going to reset themselves and rededicate themselves to you. Some are coming, Lord, starting out fresh, like Dylan, just hearing the word and wanting to identify with it. Seeing in the Bible where it says repent and baptize. He wants to identify, and he wants everyone to know that he's a believer, that he's part of the family of God. Thank you for these brothers and sisters coming. Ask you to be with them, Father. Help us to, Lord, surrender to you, knowing who we are. Oh, thank you for being our Boaz. Thank you for the surrendering that we have to you. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Father. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed by the fountain, and I'm cleansed by his blood. I am joint heirs with Jesus. as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family God. I'm so glad part of the family. The family of God. Brother Ted, get a microphone wherever. Huh? Okay. You want a prayer club? Okay, we can get you that. Like I always tell people, the cloth doesn't do the healing. Cloth is just a caveat to anoint the faith of the believer, as they did in the Old Testament, as they did in the New Testament. Took Paul and them's cloths and they prayed for them. And the actual cloth given to the person who had the need would receive what they need. Now we've had time after time that this does actually anoint the faith. Brother Ted, go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for this cloth, Lord, that you've given just as an example of faith that's going forth for the healing. Lord, move Satan aside and just help him, Father. You know where the need is. Ask you to move on this prayer request. Bless our faith and help us to just come back with a testimony of how you've blessed, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen. Now, if y'all want to come around, and I know the kids like to come on up, but anybody wants to come up where you can see, so I won't stand in your way. Make room for the grandparents.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, thank you for letting us know that we're part of the family of God. And here's Sister Joy today, Lord. She wants to be rebaptized. And your word says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We thank you for our sister, Lord. We ask that you bless her. Be with her, Lord. Strengthen her. Continue to give her word upon word. God bless Sister Joy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Joy, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Gotcha.
You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again here for everything you do for us, Lord. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Here stands Sister Sandra, Lord. She's going to be baptized in your name. We thank you for our sister, Lord. We ask that you bless her, give her strength, give her health, give her peace of mind. Continue to give her word upon word. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Sister Sandra, we baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Who's next?
They're right here. They're right here, Jeremiah.
Amen. Yeah. Hold my hand, I'm gonna bring you up too.
Dear God, thank you for our brother James here. Thank you for his testimonies, Lord, his stand for you.
Yes,
We ask that we bless our brother here, Lord. Continue to give him strength and health. Thank you for what he does for this body, Lord. Bless him as he is with his kids and his family, Lord. Thank you for Brother James. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask.
Amen. Brother James, I baptize you in the name of
the
Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jim, help him out. So I don't slip on that.
Watch out, guys. Back up a little bit. Dylan, you good?
Bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for Brother Dylan here. Lord, at a young age, he heard your word that said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for our brother, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing to him and for him in his life. We ask that you bless him. Lord, let him be a light at school. Let him be an example here at church. Lord, continue to grow him in your word and understanding. Be with Brother Dylan. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Dylan, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, in there is more towels.
Okay.
You one.
Yeah. Can you?
Amen, Dylan.
Brother Moore,
Yeah.
Say something? If you guys could just I just need the body to stay in prayer. I have a cousin back home. His name's Aaron. He's in the hospital, and it's just not looking good. So I knew that if I brought that here, that the body could pray and he could get what he needs, you know. So just keep him in mind. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We're getting ready to close. We'll get back tonight at 7. And let's look and see what we want to sing to get out of here. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Amen. Come back tonight at 7 for Bible study. Appreciate y'all being here. And do come back anytime. We're all here. We have nothing to join. We just get together and talk about Jesus. That's what we like to do. Amen. Amen. Touching Jesus is all that really matters, and then your life will never be the same. For there is only one way to touch it. Call on his name for touch.
All that matters and your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call his name.
You're dismissed.